It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this second day of March, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go, of course, if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round. And if you arrive now, if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arriver, Squeaky. And, well, I'm kind of the moderator right now until maybe, hopefully they're not working Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Sands fingers to the bone. But that's basically it right now. Hi, I'm Robin. It is the day after the State of the Union. And that means that we'll probably be talking about what President Biden had to say last night, and I thought it impressive all the way around. All in good time. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and that means this program begins with thanks going out to Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you to Rocco, and thank you to Ralphs. And thank you so much to our dear sister Jude. And that was from yesterday, but thank you to Rocco and Elizabeth. Bruce's memorial challenge is still on the table. It has been unresponded to. We are in a $600 hole to begin the month of March. But if that challenge is met this evening, if we can raise $300. Then Bruce's memorial challenge will make sure that we're actually on track 2 days into the month of March. And I certainly hope that's the case. Stockton Larry and Anatole having jumped into the chat room this evening. Good evening, y'all. Joey's Journal. Joey writes, commencing of the comrades. Jeffrey leading off today. Mikhail Gorbachev is 91 today. Gorby was the eighth and final leader of the old Soviet Union, or USSR. Gorbachev began the democratization of the Soviet Union in the 1980s. Oh, and yet, here comes Junior.
Yes, while Ronald Reagan was actually rambling on with his bullshit about how we should be afraid of the Russians, Gorby was making more democracy than Reagan could ever imagine.
Well, Junior, in Reagan's defense, the man couldn't help himself because he was, even at that juncture, just a senile old fucker. Gorbachev launched policies known as perestroika, while Reagan launched bullshit policies like paranoia.
Okay, that's fair.
Perestroika's aim was to restructure Soviet economic and political policy, and his second policy, glasnost, was intended to open discussion of political and social issues. In so doing, the power of the Communist Party was reduced and multi-candidate elections took place. was culminating in a December decision of 1991. Yes, a referendum on the Ukrainian independence was backed by a majority in every region of Ukraine, producing a more than 90% landslide victory for the independence of Ukraine. A week later, the Soviet Union ceased to exist.
I only wish Putin would cease to exist. That old putt needs to go kaput.
Well, job well done. Gorbachev would resign on Christmas Day 1991. But 31 years later, he lives on, and so let's make sure Ukraine does as well.
Nicely said, Jeffrey.
Speaking of Ukraine, oh my God, here comes Jeffrey again. Yes, as Junior and I were watching the wonderful State of the Union speech, much of which centered around Ukraine, I could not help hearing a stupid little voice from the crowd yell out something really stupid. Of course, it was none other than the no Ukrainium, no brain wonder, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert. Old Bobblehead Boebert yelled something about 13-something, and Biden sent them there, and who cares, she's an idiot, and the president has just rightly ignored her. As for all the gun nuts out there, why don't you all stick by your guns, go get your semi-automatic rifles, and then for those of you who love Putin so much, you can go on the Russian side, and for those of you who love Ukraine, you can stand on the other side. Then you can just all commence shooting at each other. So commence, comrades! Jeffrey just won't stop today. I think the commencing comrades program should begin today because on this day in 1969, the two greatest communist powers of the world opened fire against each other. The climax of this clash occurred in the eastern portion of the USSR on the Ussuri River between Soviet and Chinese troops. And also on this day in 1917, after 300 years of rule by the Romanov dynasty Tsar Nicholas, the Tsar is forced to abdicate following his declining popularity due to the Bloody Sunday massacre when palace guards shot and killed defenseless demonstrators marching on the Winter Palace. This has been Joey's Journal for Wednesday, the 2nd of March, with Giraffe waiting for the commencing of the comrades. And a $10 commencing of the comrades challenge is on the table. Thank you, Joey, Giraffe Jr., and Joey 2, the kangaroo. Thank you all. That means we got $300 and $310 in challenges on the table. Hopefully we will knock some of that out so that the hole we are in will not be so terrifyingly deep come tomorrow. Ralph's, one of the partial sponsors of Bruce's Memorial Challenge, wanted to know how it's going, and I told her the tough news that so far it isn't. He kind of stole my thunder, Joey, Giraffe, talking about the dipshit twins, the L&M's. It used to be a brand of cigarette. Now it just stands for Lori and Margie. Not exactly the Laverne and Shirley of the modern age. They were both standing up and hooting and grunting and pointing fingers and during the stage. But we predicted it, didn't we? In the conversation last night, didn't we say that some maggot would do? And well, there they were. Because of course, let's see, the dipshit twins, L&M. My personal favorite, with a hearkening back to The Simpsons, came from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. Yeah. Itchy and Scratchy, the Scab Sisters. Well, there went dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, so at least we don't have to worry about that. Get that right out of the way. Of course, Joy listens by a podcast, and I gave her a heads up to make sure and take her hockey puck with her to the breakfast table, and So, that piece of advice paid off. As she said, she was not in the least surprised. Are you sure that Unicorn Patrol drivel wasn't written by a gal? And noted that
That's not the first time she's heard about the Ukraine Nazis and the Ukro-Nazis. Noting, I don't know why these folks reject legacy media, their cute term, and merrily lap up the swill poured out at Russian propaganda websites and YouTube channels. Christ. I know. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out RT is off of Sky in the UK. Noting, the Brits are dropping RT like a rotten sack of potatoes. This only a week after the Germans finally saw the light. VOA was even banned from broadcasting in the USA on account of it was propaganda. Is Russian propaganda okay because it's sincerely held propaganda? Well, you know, Amy Covid Barrett was there last night, and Joe Biden even spoke kindly to her. But, yeah, that sincerely held pro-Russia beliefs, I guess. Yeah. There you go, Stockton Larry in the chat room. Dueling batshit bimbos. Hey, well, you know, I try to refrain from things like bimbo and sexual epithets, but the dueling and the batshit, yeah, those two, those, you know, if Michelle batshit crazy Bachman was still in the House of Representatives, we'd have a reboot of the Three Stooges, only with none of them even remotely likable. If vaudeville makes a comeback, Scott in San Diego notes, they could be billed as the Gruesome Twosome. Wait, are we back to Haystack Calhoun now? Oh, dear God, please. No, the mental images, no. But all kidding aside, it was a more than serviceable State of the Union. I'd say it was a great one. The fact of the matter is Joe Biden knows how to look and sound like a president. Now, I say that with the always, as usual, standard caveat that, of course, he is nowhere near sufficiently ideologically pure. I mean, we saw that from last night's silly email. So we've got to cope with that. But the fact of the matter is, he did a fine job on Ukraine. He did a great job talking about inflation. It was when he was talking about the toxic burn pits that seemed to accompany our modern efforts at warfare. But the burn pits have killed no small number of soldiers. At the very least, has made them sick. So that deserved its space in the speech. But that was when one or two of Itchy and Scratchy, the dipshit twins, had one of their barking and grunting and hooting fits. And of course, remember, Little Miss Three Names pals around with white supremacists. That a white supremacist says has no place in the Congress of the United States. yeah, Moscow Mitch. Tell us all about it, buddy. Now, Darlene says Biden seemed to ignore Amy Covid and Brett Kavanaugh. I thought they had, you know, they had the mic on him as he entered the chambers. But I thought I heard him say like something, you know, good evening, Associate Justice, or, you know, something anodyne and basically decent. He said, Howdy, Chief, to the Chief Justice. And I thought that that was a mark of extreme decency in light of the fact that the Supreme Court stood up for the coronavirus not that long back. And, of course, he saved his warmest regards for Justice Stephen Breyer, who is stepping down. And I guess only missed one State of the Union in his entire tenure on the court. 1 year in the early noughties when he had the flu. Meanwhile, Sammy Bad Breath Alito has not been seen at a State of the Union since the last, well, since his final, his last appearance, when he was seen to shake his head no at Barack Obama. I didn't feel like there was any, it would, well, suffice to say, no great loss. But Darlene is right. As far as I could tell, he did completely ignore the second credibly accused sexual abuser to make it onto the court. Was Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas there? Oh, dear God, this is good. This is a cowbell. That's for our buddy Dennis in Columbus, who says, with apologies to J.J. Cale, partial lyrics to Putin's theme song. He don't like, he don't like, he don't like Ukraine. Da-na-na-na. Yeah, right. Oh, that's good. That's good. Very good. Randy Radar says, I noticed that the chamber wasn't full. It wasn't. There was social distancing going on. And for good reason. Now, he won't get much in the way of credit, but Biden did touch upon the fact that the CDC has revised its guidelines. And as far as I'm concerned, the CDC can revise their guidelines till hell freezes over. This girl is still wearing a mask when she goes to COVID Mart. Or anywhere that I don't know the people who are there. Masking is just a good idea. Especially in a place like, well, you know, almost level West by Coal Manchinistan. Where, you know, getting vaccinated is apparently tantamount to communism or something. I mean, okay, it's not that bad. But, you know, I'm thinking back to, like, say, September of 2021. Yeah, at that point in time, we were at like West Virginia was like at 25% vaccination rate. Because I remember the conversations we had about what one could expect when Bridge Day rolled around in October. What one could expect with 100,000 people packed butthole to belly button out on the New River Gorge Bridge, hooting and barking and grunting and spraying and spewing all over each other. Wisely, Bridge Day didn't happen. Maybe we can have Bridge Day this year. Wouldn't that be lovely? Oh, that explains it. Scott in San Diego says, Slappy couldn't attend. There was a Long Dong Silver Film Festival across town. You know, seedy little movie house and guys wearing raincoats. Thanks for the update, Scott. But it was a good speech. But it was also, you know, because of course there's a response. The Republican response. It was delivered by Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. I guess it was, you know, what the hell? Let her do it. Why not? And, of course, her response was a and I want to make sure I use the right complicated legal term here. Hot mess. Ah, okay, thank you, Darlene. Gorsuch, Slappy, and Bad Breath were not there. Neither was Sonia Sotomayor, but we know why. Breyer was so cute. He was acting like a giddy schoolboy when Biden acknowledged his service on the SCOTUS. He put his face in his hands and was overcome. That was the one time the other justices stood and applauded. I don't, somehow or another, I just don't think that that day is ever going to come for Brat or Amy COVID Barrett, Justice Handmaid. But I mentioned Sammy Bad Breath, and, well, he may not have been there last night, but when talking about Sammy Bad Breath Alito, we've discussed from time to time that when he was sitting on the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, he authored an opinion in which he said it was okay for the cops to blow away a young black man fleeing from the cops, even though the young black man was unarmed and posed no threat whatsoever to police. Well, Philadelphia police, dear God, Philadelphia police blew away a 12-year-old boy. About 7:20 p.m., according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. 12-year-old Thomas Sedario was dead minutes after the cops blew him away. The Inquirer writing, according to a police statement released Wednesday, four plainclothes officers were in an unmarked car in the area of 18th and Barbara Streets at about 7:20 p.m. and saw two people standing on the street corner, one of whom appeared to be holding a handgun. When the driver turned on the emergency lights, the police heard gunfire and a bullet came through the back passenger side window of the vehicle. Police said two officers got out and fired at Thomas, who was holding a gun, and began to flee. One of the officers chased the boy and fired twice, striking him in the upper right back area once. The bullet had exited through his chest, police said. Now, being as this is a police shooting, I think we have to take most of that with a grain of salt. Or maybe the police have the gun now, or had one handy. Cops will do that kind of thing. Yeah, blew away a 12-year-old. Of course, remember, Tamir Rice was 12, wasn't he? When Cleveland police rolled up on him as he was playing with a toy gun. And blew him away. Not much detail in the Philadelphia Inquirer story beyond what I've shared with you. But just understand that it's okay. It's okay to shoot a kid in the back. Or at least for the police to shoot a kid in the back, because a guy who sits on the Supreme Court right now said so years and years ago. Getting back to the Republican response, Scott in San Diego says, it's interesting that the GOP picked Governor Debbie Downer, Iowa, to give their party's response to President Biden's State of the Union address. She made me think of that character in the Little Abner comic strip, the sad little fella with a perpetual dark cloud over his head. Her speech is Exhibit A, that Republicans truly bring nothing positive or useful to the conversation and haven't, you know, for decades. Debbie Downer, indeed. It was basically just a string of right-wing MAGA attacks on domestic policy and domestic issues, and foreign policy, too, for that matter. CNN reporting
The speech gave Reynolds a prominent national platform to speak to the country and offer up a critique of the Biden administration agenda. It came as Republicans worked to make their case to the American people ahead of pivotal midterm elections that will determine which party controls the House and Senate. Moreover, what she couldn't do was say a decent word about the Biden administration's decision to stand by Ukraine as Putin makes war on Ukraine. Not a word. Not a second. Of course, what she did do, however, was leave her ringer or at least the timer on her iPhone.
Good evening. I'm Kim Reynolds, governor of the great state of Iowa. Like,
did you hear it going off there? Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Nice. But this is who they are. And, well, if our side has any brains and talent at all, that's always going to be a troubling statement beginning. We will hang their pro-Putin nature around their necks and let them wear it all the way to November, like an albatross. I wonder why, you know, wonder why she got the prize. Maybe because she kind of is below the radar. I don't know. But compared with the serious, the statesmanlike, the presidential address that Biden gave, she really was a cipher. There was no there there. There was a whole lot of nothing there. Meanwhile, in terms of breaking news of what's going on in Ukraine, the southern city of Kherson, I don't know what you do with the K there, Kherson, Kherson, has become the first city to completely fall to Putin's forces. Not that surprising when you consider that it's closest to their staging operations in the area of Crimea that they stole back in 2014. And today, and this was a little chilling, wasn't it? You probably already know about this. Today, the Defense Department announced that they had rescheduled an ICBM test because they didn't want to make Putin's trigger finger any more itchy than it already is, or his button-pushing thumb. That was a chilling reminder of just how grave this situation is. And he can't... We don't want to provide anything that resembles provocation, or that someone could mistake for a run up to a launch, because he is a crazed rat backed into a corner. And I've seen a meme going around that said something like, "Okay." It's only fair to note that every woman in America has a little, you know, just a little small-time crush on Volodymyr Zelensky, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. I don't know that I go that far, but it's worth remembering, if we go all the way back to January of 2020 and the first impeachment, it's worth remembering what that impeachment was about. It was the same Vladimir Zelensky whom Nitwit Nero tried to shake down for manufactured dirt on Hunter Biden, etc. And Vladimir Zelensky
stared Trump down too. So it's not like he's new to the idea of staring down a corrupt the leader of a corrupt nuclear power. He got his first practice run with Trump. Man, talk about the dipshit twins. Trump and Pootie. But Central Europe is nervous. Justifiably so. Because because Pootie has told his nuclear forces to go to the highest state of alert, the sweat condition alpha. Well, there's apparently a run in former Soviet-era states on iodine because they think that the iodine protects against some forms of radiation from nuclear fallout. Well, you know, iodine is a form of a treatment. In the past 6 days, Bulgarian pharmacies have sold as much iodine as they sell in a year. That, according to the chairman of the pharmacies union, one Nikolai Kostov, speaking to Reuters. Some pharmacies are already out of stock. We've ordered new quantities, but I'm afraid they will not last very long. They're also topping off their gas tanks. They're taking cash out of banks. In the Czech Republic, they have a chain called Dr. Max Pharmacies, and some of their stores have run out of iodine. Miroslava Stankova, a representative for Dr. Max, says, it's been a bit mad, but look, at least they're not drinking their own pee or gobbling up apple-flavored horse paste or putting onions in their socks. You can kind of understand what they're doing, especially since the word came out that radiation counts are on the rise coming out of Chernobyl. And did anybody have Chernobyl re-radiates Europe on your 2022 bingo card? Because I honestly didn't. Steve in New York says, stiff spines seem to be a Ukrainian trait. The Ukrainian UN ambassador to Russian UN ambassador, no purgatory for war criminals, they go straight to hell. And then the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine was the special guest of President Biden last night. She was impressive. But, well, we come back, of course, to Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, Clanny Oakley, who caught a lot of heat, rightly so, for her shitty little attack on Joe Biden, even as he was talking about the death of his son, Beau. And, you know, there's bipartisan legislation in the Senate introduced by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and, of all people,
little Marco Rubio.
She was booed by both sides do it, amazingly. She was booed by Republicans and Democrats alike. And she tries, she's trying to justify what she did. And she said,
when Biden said flag-draped coffins, I couldn't stay silent. I told him directly he did it. He put 13 in there. Our heroic servicemen and women deserve so much better.
Wonder how many, wonder if she even knows, because of course she doesn't know what she doesn't know. Stand by a moment. Oh, never mind. I wonder if she knows how many U.S. service men and women died, say, under Nitwit Nero's watch. Pretty sure in 4 years it was more than 13. But of course, what the whole reason for her doing this, it was like all these Republican outbursts are. Remember, Joe Wilson of South Carolina stand, whose real name isn't Joe. He had no sooner yelled "You lie" at Barack Obama than he was sending out a fundraising email. Well, the same for Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. And in the video, she said,
"I just finished listening to a speech by Joe Biden, the weakest and worst president in American history. Now more than ever, we must reject Biden's America Last policies and put America first." Even not a week after the America First conference of white nationalists took place in Orlando. Is there anybody who doesn't understand that that America First horseshit is pure, untrammeled fascism?
Kirsten Gillibrand said that what she did, what Boobert did was inappropriate, especially given the substance of the comments that the president was making at the time, which is to continue this way, which is to protect service members and our veterans. But again, and then, of course, Mike Braun of Indiana, Mike Brown, a Republican. Well, he kind of criticized Clanny Oakley, but not that much. It's something that I think there's a place. That's not the place to do that. And, of course, half of the dipshit twins.
Joe Biden can never use the words "fight for freedom."
Sweetie, he did. Wait, that's is bittery a word? I mean, there's sweet and there's is soury a word? No, sweetie, no.
The State of the Union was light on solutions but heavy on spending.
Oh, Jesus. Get the hockey puck.
Hey, everyone. I just finished listening to a speech by Joe Biden, the weakest and worst president in American history, who has 13 American soldiers dead on his watch. America deserves a strong leader, someone who would represent America's strength, and who would have solutions to the border crisis, the inflation crisis, the logistics crisis, energy crisis, drill, baby, drill, and the crime crisis. Sadly, Joe Biden not only ignored these crises, he is the cause of these crises. We heard a lot of talk about spending and pipe dream giveaways, and very little about solving the issues Americans care about.
The entirety of the speech was about solving issues Americans care about, but she was busy listening to the tweeting spirochetes swimming around in the thin gray settlings between her ears that passed for brains. Jesus Christ.
Now more than ever, we must reject Biden's America Last policies and put America first. God bless you all. I am praying for our nation, and I hope that God preserves this great country of ours.
Pray and pray, day by day, live on hay, there will be pie in the sky when you die. Thank you, Joe Hill.
God bless America.
Well, God did not bless America when he, she, or they, dropped the ball and let this grinning idiot stumble into Congress. By the way, Scott in San Diego says, as a public health service, we're not talking about the liquid to put on cuts when we talk about iodine. The trace element we need can be found in a variety of foods or as a nutritional supplement. you can get your iodine in a number of different ways. Seaweed, fish and shellfish, cod, canned tuna, oyster, shrimp, iodized salt, dairy, milk, cheese, and yogurt, eggs, beef liver, chicken, fortified infant formula. But those are to avoid, Scott, that's to avoid iodine deficiency in the diet. There's a difference, but I think, between that and treating radiation poisoning with iodine. I gotta confess that, God, she just, how do you cope with stupid on that level? And sadly, though, she's like Little Miss Three Names, is a fundraising machine. Yes, it was, says Darlene in Connecticut. When the orange gross creep committed crimes of bribery and a type of extortion against Zelensky to manufacture dirt against Biden, we've treated Zelensky abysmally. I, for one, think we should be doing more to stop Putin beyond the sanctions. Yeah, I'm talking American boots on the ground, because we both know Poland's next, and we will have to step in. Poor Ukraine, begging to be part of NATO and the EU, and we turned our collective back. And now Belarus has gotten involved, so it's two countries against one. How ironic that Ukraine is actually fighting for the democratic ideals we only give lip service to. How doubly ironic that Zelensky is destined for assassination and or brutal torture and imprisonment, while that orange gross creep still walks free and has yet to be charged with crimes. Trump richly deserves jail, and that seems more and more unlikely. Instead, he continues to threaten and torment us with the possibility of a 2024 presidential run. True. And I'm so hard put to say that we need to send in American forces to Ukraine. I'm getting closer to say that we might want to declare a no-fly zone. That would require, I think, something beyond NATO. That would require the United Nations to act. I mean, we're providing arms. Remember, in the run up to in the run up to the Second World War, we had a deal going with the UK called the Lend-Lease Program. We sent tanks, we sent planes, we sent parts for planes. And the British flew them. Canadians, other members of the Commonwealth. One wonders if we could do something like that now to enforce a no-fly zone. Because, of course, a no-fly zone means more of, than just no plane, you know, no MiGs in the air. It also is about cruise missiles, other forms of artillery, anything that goes up in the air. And then, boom, it's on. I don't know, Darlene. I mean, I'd love to have your thoughts further. Is that where we're headed? You know, will he cross into Poland? I mean, if his goal is to restore the territorial boundaries of the old Warsaw Pact, then the answer seems rather obviously yes. And if the history of tyrants and dictators is to be relied on, then the answer also seems to be yes. It is a... It's a hell of a thing to contemplate. Of course, we talked about Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, But, well, let's not leave Little Miss Three Names out of it. She was ranting and raving like the maniac she is last night. She was there, you know, trying to heckle. And using it, of course, for fundraising. And then she gave her very own response to the State of the Union. Because I guess Kim Reynolds of Iowa wasn't derpy enough. Standing in front of a banner that reads, "Women for America First." You speak for yourself. Because, well, most women don't support fascism, which is what America First is. And this is pure, untrammeled lunacy. She's absolutely, I mean, does she not remember what he was impeached for, Nitwit Nero? Because she seems to be accusing Biden of exactly the things that Nitwit Nero was the one who actually did.
The president of the United States is totally compromised because every world leader has contents of Hunter Biden's laptop and much more to blackmail him. So it's no wonder America is weak. We do not have a president that can defend our country. We have a president that puts America last because he is literally serving China, Russia, and the world. He is a globalist. He's for the global economy. He is for the World Economic Forum, for the interest of China, and for the interest of Russia, and for anyone, anywhere that has blackmail evidence on his sexually deviant, drug-addled, deadbeat dad, pathetic, sorry, embarrassing excuse of a son. Joe Biden has already broken his oath of office because all he cares about is protecting Hunter Biden, and he will not protect any of us. This is why I have introduced 4 articles of impeachment on Joe Biden. Now the Democrats are trying. The president of the United States is totally compromised because every world.
On him, not against him. On him. Prepositions can be such devils, especially when you're a moron. There were not 2 words together in that entire statement that were even remotely true. Everybody's got Hunter Biden's laptop. Well, seeing her criticized for palling around with white supremacists and anti-Semites and neo-Nazis and the like doesn't seem to have slowed her down. No, not in the least. But it's kind of hard for her because the bottom line is Joe Biden showed himself yesterday evening, last night, to just be a fundamentally decent man. Randy Radar tells me, one caller to a Progressive Voices show suggested that the U.S. conduct exercises in the Pacific to attract the attention and resources of the Russians. Well, that's a case of walking and chewing gum at the same time. They've got a Pacific fleet and an Atlantic fleet. I doubt that would slow them down much. Oh, that's a good one. Greg says, "Little Miss Three Names is what baby talk sounds like when it grows up." Or at least gets older. Robert in Australia says, Chernobyl,
Engineers completed building a massive second enclosure for Chernobyl back in 2014. It's a huge structure that had to be built next to the old station. It was on rails, and when completed, it was rolled over the old station. It's an engineering marvel. You can see it on Google Earth. If there's been an increase in radiation from the Chernobyl area, you have to wonder why. Well, early on, it was announced that they had damaged the sarcophagus. That's what this is. Yeah. Thanks, Robert. Matt in San Francisco, America last? That was my first thought when Joe said we would rebuild our infrastructure with American goods from start to finish. That Boebert is not the best, nor is she the brightest. Yeah, not by a long shot. Let's see here. What else? Because there's a lot. Ron Monkey up Duclantis. Every time you think that this guy can't be more of an asshole, he proves that, in fact, he is. He had some sort of an education appearance today in, I think, Hillsdale, Florida. And so they lined up some kids to stand behind him. Workforce education. Cybersecurity. That's what the sign in front of Ron Monkey Up Duclantis's podium reads. Well, they had the high school students assembled there. And along comes a Rona death sentence.
You do not have to wear those masks. I mean, please take them off. Honestly, it's not doing anything, and we got to stop with this COVID theater.
COVID theater. You can stop wearing those masks. They're not doing anything. Not a scientist, Ron Monkey Up Duclantis. Yeah, he's just a white supremacist adjacent governor who happened to have the luck happened to get enough support from a group of Nazis and white supremacists to give him the necessary margin to defeat his Democratic opponent, an African American man. COVID theater. What a monumentally shitty human being. I mean, what a living fecalith. COVID theater. Trying not to catch a disease that can kill people is COVID theater. Let that sink in. Let the amount of disrespect for God knows how many thousands and thousands and thousands of Floridians who have died from this. And he calls it theater.
Stop with this COVID theater. So if you want to wear it, fine, but this is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous, he tells these children. So, naturally, the white boy takes his off first.
All right, well, it's good to be at USF.
And I hope it stayed on. The young black man at the far end away from Rona death sentence, and when everybody else is taking their masks off, he's a smart young man. He leaves his on. COVID theater. Now, we all do remember, don't we, the clip of him from a few weeks back, Ron Monkey Up Duclantis, when he was hacking and coughing and could barely breathe and looked like he was probably going to die of the Rona right in front of our very eyes. The Hillsborough School District issued a statement. We are excited our students from Middleton High School were highlighted as part of the statewide focus around cybersecurity education. Our cybersecurity pathway at Middleton High School has had tremendous success through students earning industry certifications, participating in internships, and leading the way in computer systems and information technology. As always, our students should be valued and celebrated. It is a student and parent's choice to protect their health in a way they feel most appropriate. We are proud of the manner in which our students represented themselves and our school district. Especially the one who didn't take his freaking mask off because he's ever so much smarter than Ron Monkey Up to Klantis. Meanwhile... Oh, the ever so appropriately named Christina Pashaw, who is the press secretary spokescreep for Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, said,
after 2 years of mixed messages, the governor wants to make sure everyone is aware of the facts and data now so they can feel free and comfortable without a mask.
I wonder if they'll feel, gee, Christina, you reckon they'll feel comfortable when they've got a garden hose down their throat and they're horizontally crucified, flipped over on their belly, and in a chemically induced coma? Chrissy, you think? The toxicity of these maggots.
And by the way, just yesterday, there were 3,057 Floridians hospitalized with cases of what Rona Death Sentence calls COVID theater. 185 Floridians died yesterday of COVID theater. Just a week ago, Florida was reporting more than 300 deaths in a single day. And of course, last night, Joe Biden, no mask. Nancy Pelosi, no mask. Kamala Harris, no mask. You know why? Because everybody had to have a positive test or a negative test. Everybody had to have a negative test to get in to be physically present in the State of the Union. That means even Little Miss Three Names and Clanny Oakley gave up their freedom and their liberty. Sit, liberty, sit.
Woof.
And got tested so that they could go in and heckle the President of the United States during a constitutionally mandated speech. In addition, compare California and Florida, shall we? Between June 15th of 2021 and February 9th, 2022, and that is roughly commensurate with the time period at which Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis stripped public health officials of the ability to even fight COVID. That's also the period of time in which Rona Death Sentence decided to cozy up to the anti-maskers, the anti-vaxxers, the spreadnecks, and the COVIDiots. Well, in that time period, the death rate for COVID in Florida has been almost three times higher than that of California. Which, of course, remained somewhat sane with their approach to COVID. The list is, of course, tragic from where I stand because Florida at 136.7 deaths per 100,000 in that time period is fifth in the nation. My beloved, put upon, blasted, burned, tortured, tormented West Virginia leads the nation in that period at 171.9 deaths per 100,000. The bottom, the good side of this list, 50th is Vermont. Yay, Jeremy! At 44.3. California's 49th at 46.5. You know, sometimes there is, sometimes it's good to be 50th in the country. 48th is Hawaii at 49.3. Yay, Darlene! Connecticut is number 47 at 54.1. 46 is Utah at 58.5. And Elbert and Charlene's Rhode Island is at 58.7. Wyoming is right behind West Virginia at number 2. Then comes Tennessee, Missouri Stan, Florida Stan, Mississippi Stan, Arkansas Stan, Idaho Stan, Montana Stan, Oklahoma Stan, Arizona Stan. You know, a pattern emerges. Jeremy in Vermont, whom I just mentioned, said, we've crossed the 950,000 dead number, and we're only 48,000 away from the millionth death in the United States. And the governor of the state of Florida, who wants to make sure that nobody can say gay or trans in a school in Florida, well, he's nonetheless completely comfortable with bullying high school students for simply trying to do the right thing. How sickening that truly, genuinely is. And by the way, speaking of sickening, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, did not escape the verbiage of Jen Psaki. Todd pointing out Little Miss Three Names is so stupid she needs reminders to breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. That's an old blonde joke. You know, the blonde walks around with headphones on all the time, never see her without them. And one day somebody just takes them off of her and she drops dead. And they put the headphones up in there. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Oh, I know. Megan just says, I can't with these people. God damn, I hope these fuckers are voted out later this year because I can't take one more second of this complete and utter stupidity. If the Republicans get a hold of the House and Senate, Jesus help us. January 6th commission will go the way of the dodo. President Biden will find himself impeached. Hunter Biden. And removed from office faster than we can blink. Well, they won't remove him from office. There's no way the Republicans are going to get 2/3 of the Senate. So you can at least take some solace in that, Megan. They'll find a way to remove Vice President Harris as well. Any and all business relating to the American people will fall by the wayside the floor will quickly get filled up by several hundred investigations into Hunter Biden. I'll not only have to listen to the noxious noises of Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Q-Ball and the bobblehead, but I'll also have to endure Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. Please, says Megan, for the love of all that's holy, please vote this year. It's not all on November.
Remember your primaries and your voting rights. Please do it like your lives depend on it. As we've noted so many times before on this program, because it does. It does. Scott in San Diego says, I never imagined I would be so prescient. A good while ago, when I submitted the first bit of the Hunter Biden song, I had no idea the GOP snapping turtle bit grip on it would still be in their A-hits heavy rotation. And now the weather. Back with that hot hit, the request lines are burning up. It's the Hunter Biden song. Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden. And the sad thing is, Megan, Marjorie Trader gangrene cue ball ain't going anywhere until such time as 2/3 of the membership of the House of Representatives decides to send her packing. That's a sad fact. Now, I think there's credible competition for Lauren Bobblehead Boebert out in Colorado. But, nope, there's one of those morning Mika sighs. Sorry. So maybe we can cut the number. And, of course, let's not forget Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of Arizona Stan. He's probably not going anywhere either. I mean, when your own family campaigns against you and begs your district to please not send him to Congress, and the district does it anyway, well, that tells you more about the district than it does about the efficacy of demon dentist Paul Gosar's quality of representation. Anyway, back to Jen Psaki for a minute. She showed up on way too early with Jonathan Lemire on MSNBC this morning. He's an engaging guy. He does a good job. They've cycled a lot of people through that slot because it's, I mean, if Mika hates getting up at 3, he probably really despises getting up at 2 and means he's got to be in bed at 6 p.m. That's really, I mean, Scott and I were talking about that a little bit last night. That is really hard to do, just knock down at 6 o'clock and hope you stay asleep until 2. I mean, you've got to, your bedroom has to be a bunker. You've got to have those lined curtains where absolutely no light gets through. And a good bit of noise just to drown out the, you know, like some sort of, you know, noise machine kind of thing. I use one at night. I've got a noise app on the iPad, and I play it through a Bluetooth speaker, because down, you know, quarter mile from me down is the main road, which at 3 o'clock in the morning with a semi hitting his Jake brakes, it can bring you straight up out of a sound sleep. It's not easy. While we were down in Birmingham, the lovely apartment that we were in had one flaw. The front bedroom where I slept had blinds, and the blinds were absolutely ineffective at keeping out the security lighting outside. And so when I'd wake up in the middle of the night, it would be that light through the windows effect, like, I don't know, like out of Close Encounters of the Third Time. I'd holler to Annette, I think they're here. Anyway, back to Jen Psaki.
And what he has done since then is continue to talk about and stand up for democracy. What you heard the the president talk about last night is the importance of democracies prevailing over autocracies, of standing up and believing that that is what makes us strongest, being united in this country and being united abroad. That is very much what the theme of his January 6th speech was just 6 weeks ago, and how he thinks we all should be thinking about this period in our own history. So look, a speech like the State of the Union, it's hugely important. It doesn't have the time to touch on everything that is a priority, and there's no question that continuing to take steps to support the efforts to hold those perpetrators accountable is a priority for him, and continuing to stand up as a leader of the United States for what that day really showcased, the need to stand up for democracies, will be something the American people keep hearing from him.
Jen, one of the headlines that emerged from the speech last night was a pair of Republican House members who chose to heckle President Biden as he was speaking about his late son, Beau. Do you have any response to what they said?
Not really, Jonathan. I have to tell you that during that heckling, which I was watching that on TV with a group of my team members and colleagues, and we were all excited and cheering, and that was the moment in the speech where the president was talking about his unity agenda and talking about priorities that we should all be able to agree on. Look, one American dies every 5 minutes of an opioid overdose. There's no question we should do more to help our nation's veterans, people who have been hurt by the impacts of burn pits. Of course, we need to do more to work together to cure cancer. And they were heckling around that time and that moment. I think that says a lot more about them than it does about how important these priorities are and how much the vast majority of people who were sitting there watching in that chamber last night could work together to solve exactly those problems. And others, too, probably.
She is so good. So good. I'm going to miss her. This kind of builds on something that Todd asked last night, to wit, is Mika a burnout? How drunk do you think the dipshit twins were last night? And is it better or worse if they did what they did sober? I don't know. I mean, you think, okay, so we heard the video that Clanny Oakley did standing outside the Capitol. She doesn't seem to be slurring or anything, but do you think maybe, I don't know, pills? Or maybe just a nice swig of, oh, I don't know, a really... speedy decongestant cough syrup? Maybe she's a cough syrup girl. I don't know. Of course, there was a... a conundrum, Steve in New York points out. Given the legislative stand of Monkey Up Duplantis and his pet Republican legislature, Steve wants to know, what happens to the Flintstones in Florida? We'll have a gay old time. Well, no Flintstones clips in the schools of Florida. Oh, no. Or, I don't know, usually they throw fits about the war on Christmas. What happens to Deck the Halls? Oh, shit. Don we now our gay apparel. The horror, says Steve. The horror! Yeah. Scott in San Diego said, I meant to bring this up when we were talking yesterday. Kindly share it with the Horn family. It's short but powerful. Lovely quote of the day, and it comes from Mark Maron. It's strange what it takes to have hope in people and the world, but I'm not alone in my respect for and amazement in President Zelensky of Ukraine. It takes a violent attack by an authoritarian country on a fledgling democracy to amplify the courage he's shown in the face of global fascism. The fact that it is specifically rooted in his Jewishness makes it even more moving and important. The reaction to it here in the United States has further revealed and exposed the fascist sympathizers in our own government and those who aspire to gain power within it and or regain power. He's a global hero, and it's a real display of bravery. It's inspiring. It's probably good he quit comedy. That is good, Scott. And Mark Maron distills the reality of it here in the United States quite nicely. Of course, there was a moment. There was a moment last night in the State of the Union. I bet you're surprised I haven't brought it up yet. But it touched me deeply when President Biden took a moment and did something no other president, Democrat or Republican, has ever done, or Whig or whatever. He uttered a sentence in support of trans people in this country. And I would be lying if I said that tears didn't immediately spring to my eyes. It was a beautiful moment. And if nothing else, he has my eternal respect and admiration for that, although there is so much more to respect and admire. And as Boss Man Wayne and I and others have remarked upon, I cannot tell you how happy I am to have been as wrong as I was about him. Who knew? But it's a classic case of what I've discussed in the past, namely that when you're talking about the presidency of the United States, the office makes the occupant, not vice versa. Of course, that didn't apply to Nitwit Nero, because there has to be some mustard seed of a simulacrum of character for the office to act upon. And we've seen it work in different ways over the... It didn't... And it's funny, it doesn't... It drove Nixon batshit. The power of the presidency. It eventually drove him into raving bouts of paranoia. It exposed in Nitwit Nero the very most basic, fundamental failings of his character and the horrors of his raising. In Joe Biden, however, it has called him to greatness. And so last night when he mentioned and said, "I see you," to trans people, every bit as American as any other American, it was deeply moving. And specifically referring to the attacks on trans children taking place all over the stand states in this country. He sent a clear signal that he will use the power of the presidency to try to protect the most marginalized people in this country. And I say this because Texas, of course, leads the way in this particular brand of hate. Alabama is not far behind. The bill banning life-saving medical care for trans kids was to have a hearing, I think, in the Alabama Senate today. Despite all the medical expertise, it means nothing. And those monstrous maggots will probably go ahead and continue and take this next step in their attack on some portion of roughly 11,000 kids in Talibama who have done nothing, nothing to earn the wrath of these godforsaken animals. But Texas leads the way. And the Texas Tribune has the story. Transgender Texas kids are terrified after governor orders that parents be investigated for child abuse. It has already started. Five prosecuting attorneys for counties in Texas, I suppose that are major metropolitan counties, said that they would not use the powers of their office to implement a goddamn thing that Greg Asbot said. You know, sometimes you would hope. I mean, he engenders in me a fascination, a macabre fascination with just how bad a human being can be. Sometimes when bad things happen to people, it wakes them up a little bit. It makes them more compassionate. It makes them more essentially and fundamentally decent. But a tree, for God's sakes, which is not that far from a house, a tree fell on Greg Asbot and took away his ability to walk. And it apparently, I don't know, he got himself a tasty legal settlement out of it, I think. And it did nothing, absolutely nothing, to make him even more, even an iota more introspective. I mean, there's no comparison, of course, but when I realized that I had to either come out and transition or die, I like to think it made me a better person. I don't think I was a horrible person to begin with, but I like to think it made me better because it made me more compassionate. It made me take a moment before I excoriated someone for flaws that I might well have manifested myself. But not Greg Asbot. Oh, hell no! And the Texas Tribune story starts with an account of Adamalis Vigil. I think I'm saying it right. She drives her 13-year-old trans daughter, Adeline, 8 hours up out of the Rio Grande Valley just so she can get the medical care that she desperately needs. As the Texas Tribune points out, the care that she gets 8 hours away isn't available to her in her hometown. But it is care that is life-saving. Adeline told the Texas Tribune, "It makes me feel who I truly am, and I don't feel singled out for not being like other girls in school anymore. It's just very special for me that Mom takes me all the way over there." Well, one of the things that getting puberty blockers did was to take away her panic disorder, to vastly improve her mental health. And interestingly, the Texas Tribune does not even say what the clinic is where she goes for care, out of concern that some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian maggot might, you know, bomb the clinic. But where Adeline's panic attacks had gone away, they're back. And they're back specifically because of the actions of Governor Greg Asbot. Who ordered the Department of Family Protective Services, child welfare officials, to launch child abuse investigations against any mom or dad or mom and mom or dad and dad who provide loving, gender-affirming care to their children. Because, of course, if the Republicans in Texas get their way, it will be impossible for little girls like Adeline or little trans boys to get the puberty blockers that mean the difference between life and death for them. Now, this article from the Texas Tribune says, Shelley Skeen, a senior attorney with Lambda Legal, said it's highly unlikely that a judge would justify child abuse charges or removal of a child based solely on the use of gender-affirming therapy. Shelley Skeen said Texas law has a very clear definition of what child abuse is, and it's not this. Well, she knows what the law is in Texas. She is clearly competent to make that declaration, but I'm not so comfortable. Any judge anywhere in Texas can do any damn thing he wants, and the appellate process is so wholly Swiss cheesed with right-wing conservative so-called Christian jurists, and the Supreme Court is too, that, well, Ms. Skeen at Lambda Legal, I don't know. She may be overly optimistic. And so it was little girls like Adeline that President Biden was speaking to last night. And I can imagine that for her and her family, that one, those one or two sentences, for them, were the most important things that Joe Biden said all night. And of course, you know, they're starting with health care for kids. They're not going to stop with banning that. They'll try to make it impossible for trans adults to get their care as well. I don't have any problem envisioning a wild-eyed Republican maggot legislature banning the use of gender-affirming hormones in an adult population. Do you? It wouldn't take much, and the court battle would go on for eons and might wind up in front of those six wild-eyed Federalist Society maniacs in Washington, and then, you know, us trans people can just go fuck right off and die. Those are the parameters of the conflict. The article goes on and says, advocates say that calling gender-affirming therapy child abuse could lead to it being weaponized in divorce cases, create legal issues for physicians and therapists who treat transgender youth, and empower people to attack the young people themselves, as well as the family members and others who support them. W. Karsten Anderson is an associate professor of criminal justice at St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas, and said, "It's not a far stretch to think that you could be harassed, assaulted, killed." And just in the last week, according to the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, there have been three reports, quote, meeting the description in the AG opinion and governor's directive. But they provide no further details than that. So at least three families are already being harassed unto death for simply loving their children. And in fact, one of those cases became public. It's horrifying. It was almost no time at all between Aspot's announcement and a family going public. With the fact that their family had been attacked. What do you think it's like for a family to know that they are under attack by the full weight of the state government of a place like Texas? I think the family, and I thought I had the story to hand. I think it comes out of the Austin area. Imagine the fear. Imagine the horror. Imagine the tears. So when Joe Biden gave an indication last night that he was inclined to put his weight behind, and the weight of the federal government behind, trying to stop this madness of the Family Values Party attacking families. That's pretty much why the tears came to my eyes. I will try to, I thought I had the story. I thought I had it. But again, as with everything else, further proof of just how much is at stake. Everything that we hold dear is at stake in our primaries and, God knows, in the general election coming up in November. I'm going to the phone in a minute, but we are past the halfway mark of the program. We are $600 in the hole, and we have $310 worth of matching monies on the table if we can only scrape up the $300 to go with it. I so sincerely hope we can. It is so absolutely necessary. Megan says, I heartily embrace my love for Zelensky. I have a huge crush on Zelensky, and I'm not ashamed of it. I love men who are pure of heart and aren't afraid to do what's right. He's putting his very life on the line to fight for his country and its citizens. If there's ever one quality in the world I love, it's that. I nominate him to have the official letters BAMF after his name as an honorific because he's proven his chops and keeps on fighting. He's the second person nominated for that because the first person, that's Officer Eugene Goodman. And for all the same reasons. BAMF. Badass mother... Yep. I second that. I second your motion, Megan. Those two, our dear sister Jude says, talking about Little Miss Three Names and Clanny Oakley, those two are more like a self-will-run riot. Scott in San Diego answering the question, what were they on last night? They apparently stumbled on a secret stash of Tom DeLay's bug spray and huffed the fuck out of it. Yeah, a little Ziploc bag, a little... Well, you know the phrase we've used here for years, crazier than a sprayed roach. A horn poll. Steve in New York asks, which would take less time for Nitwit Nero's head to explode? A, a Nobel Prize for President Zelensky, or B, a Nobel Prize for President Biden? Oh, let's let him share one and, well, cue up the Slim Whitman at the end of Mars Attacks. As to Jen Psaki, Billable Rick says, she's a tremendous press secretary, straight out of central casting. She's every bit as adept and intellectually agile as the press secretary was in the West Wing TV show, except she's doing the job in real time, in real life. Well, thank you, Jude. Jude says, you have such myriad perspectives and sensitivities. If I may, a soul evolving to the highest order, touching and opening to all. I'm trying. Don't always get it right. More compassionate. Steve in New York says, I had the same feeling when I came out. I'm a white man. I'll never really understand what it's like to be a person of color or other minority in this country. However, I realize that a certain sample of people assume that as a gay man, I'm inherently perverted and dirty with a propensity toward pedophilia. That epiphany, as a despised person in some corners of this country, gave me a glimpse of empathy for people of color and other minority folk that I wouldn't otherwise have. Yeah, it's the empathy that matters. As I say again and again and again, understanding is overrated because it is so hard to accomplish and so unlikely. On the other hand, however, empathy and acceptance are the coin of the realm. They're what matters. Hunter Biden, Darlene in Connecticut says, and I don't disagree, we have to be honest, Hunter Biden's easy pickings. Pretty fucked up. Clearly engages in nepotism. He was a complete asshole for sleeping with his dead brother's wife, cheating on his then-wife. I mean, that's pretty fucked up, full stop. No doubt Republicans are 100% no better in these areas. We know that, but we also know they're never called out when they do the same sleazy shit. Oh, he's game. I thought Joe Biden did a great job at the State of the Union, by the way. Darlene adds, I'm perplexed at the low poll numbers. I keep hearing that Biden has low poll numbers. I'm not understanding it. Are we being gaslit, or are these low poll numbers true? What am I missing here? I don't know that you're missing anything, Darlene. What I think maybe you're failing to take into account because, you know, we, and this is not a criticism of you, it's I take myself and this entire community into this universe, this little circle on a Venn diagram, we are in a bubble. We're paying attention. We're seeing the extent to the extent to which shit's getting done. We see how hard he and his administration are working. And we know why of the things that aren't getting done, they're not getting done. And none of them include Joe Biden. There's a Joe involved with some of it, but it's not Biden. It's Manchin. There's also a Kyrsten Sinema. And there's the bedlam that is almost the entirety of the... No, it is the entirety of the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives. Because make no mistake... When Liz Cheney comes out and says something bad about it, it says something that's, you know, that should be a freaking no-brainer for anybody who actually took an oath to defend the Constitution about January 6th, and we go, oh, yay, look at Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney's such a hero. Nobody's saying that about the Democrats.
because they're just doing the right thing. They're doing what's expected of them, but expectations are so God-blessed low for Republicans. The bar is so damned low that if they manage not to pee on their own shoes, oh, yes, look at you. We're so proud of you. My God, there's a shred of decency somewhere. Because the bottom line is, if you come around to talking about things that American people need, Adam Kinzinger, who is still in the Congress, in the House, is not going to vote for it, and neither is Liz Cheney. Remember, she had a 95% voting record with Nitwit Nero. And I think the only thing that probably brought it down to that 95% was the fact that she voted to impeach his ass. Drill, baby, drill, right there. Blow up every goddamn mountain in Appalachia, right there. Let a sea of toxic oil sludge flow all over the upper Midwest. Liz Cheney's your girl. And the for-profit media, because they're not heralding the people who are doing shit right, create the impression that everything is wrong. I get so tired of it. I'm not yelling at you, darling. You know that. And yeah, Hunter Biden is low-hanging fruit. But as someone who has children, I can well imagine how entirely frustrated and, yes, parentally furious Joe Biden probably is and has been with Hunter. But here's the thing. If you're any kind of parent, and I know the parents know this, you never stop loving them. And you never stop trying to provide guidance. And you never stop trying to ease them onto the right path, because you know, that they're not a lost cause. And you know what? When Republican kids fuck up, and they fuck up a lot, you don't see their well-heeled parents chucking them out onto the street. I mean, Mother Rittenhouse couldn't even bring herself to criticize her own son for murdering two people and maiming a third. I just wanted us to be clear about that part. But there's nothing, we have a more than century-long love affair with the automobile, and nothing will make people think that everything's gone to shit like paying more at the gas pump. Even though no president, and I will even include Nitwit Nero in this, has ever impacted the price of a gallon of gasoline. And look, I mean, we've talked about shortages over the last 3 years on this program. Right now, just in yesterday's program, I was pissing and moaning about the fact that I can't get a saltine. You know, saltines used to just be dull. They were boring. It's just a cracker. You know, it wasn't rich and buttery like a fucking Ritz. It's just a cracker. But sometimes just a cracker is just what you want. And the supply chain is so screwed up that apparently this part of the world is having a hard time getting saltines. Did you ever try to, I mean, because I did. Chili with Pringles isn't terrible, but it's just a bubble off plum.
And as president of the United States, thanks to the way that the news is shaped by the multimillionaire for-profit media, it's Joe Biden's fault. Because he's the guy with his hand on the switch right now. And by the way, speaking of guys, I sat there in a bit of lovely awestruck wonder last night when I saw and watched the two seats, the people in the two seats behind President Biden, and realized I was witnessing history. Because the second in the line of succession and the third in the line of succession in the United States of America, right now, right here, are two women, and one of them a woman of color. How amazing is that? And one may dare to dream that a day will come when the person delivering the State of the Union will be a woman. No guarantee that that will necessarily mean something, a vast improvement. I mean, it could be President Liz Cheney. It could be President Precious Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner. President Boebert. And that's the conversation we've had in the past. It's somewhat slippery ground to say a woman president. Because, believe you me, you would not, I wouldn't feel any gender pride over saying President Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cueball. Maybe it's a State of the Union flanked on either side by phalanges of Jewish space lasers. But that was a momentous event. Two women, second and third in the line of succession in the United States of America. And, with pride of place, Matt in San Francisco adds, I might add they're both from the San Francisco Bay Area. It's the water. Yes. Yes. And no surprise that California would provide us with those two firsts. Albeit in the case of Nancy Pelosi via Ballmer. So, you know, there's so much more that goes into a State of the Union than what's necessarily spoken. It's the imagery, too. And thank you very kindly. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. And thank you to Brendan. We are now $30 along the way to reaching Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Got a little over an hour to try to raise up that other $270. I sure hope we can. I really, really do. Oh, as to the saltine shortage, Scott reminds us, the MAGA dweebs claim saltines treat or cure COVID. He's not kidding. This part is. Just slather a little horse paste on one and you're set to go. Don't forget to put those onions in your socks and chase your saltines with horse paste with a healthy swig of pee-pee. Yeah, see, I've given Ralphs a case of the shrieking horrors. Oh, please, Flying Spaghetti Monster, please, not Liz Cheney or Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cueball. Maybe Marsha, goodness, Blackburn. Oh, there's a refugee from the Mensa convention. Yeah. Oh, good. Now, damn it. It is 80 degrees in here. I've long since given up and gone to naked radio. Early it is, but yeah. Oh,
I just got a little piece of video from Scary Jerry. Auntie Robin, grandbabies. How sweet. Jerry, that's wonderful. That's just beautiful. Oh, and Earther says, listening to Robin and Anna Kasparian at the same time is not jarring at all. And the preferred... okay, I could... Yeah. The preferred term is saltine Americans, Robin. Cracker's a racial slur. Jeez, not this shit again. Oh, I always do. Sorry. Jeremy's right. You always leave out the nice long blacklight tube up the ass. The list is getting too long, Jeremy. Cut a girl a break. Let's run over to the stress line and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Auntie Robin.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I do. You're
this
a little
is scary. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little echoey, but you're okay.
How's this? Is this feel better?
Yeah, you're good. And you're in both channels, winning.
Progress. Joe Biden went all Ronald Reagan on them last night. It was beautiful. They had nothing. He had me waving a flag and fist pumping. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, I was all tingly.
And you know what? He's been doing this about 5 months. The only creepy thing, and then this is going to be an upbeat, happy call, I think. The only creepy thing, remember that military aircraft you heard last night?
Yeah.
I heard it at the same time, like 600-700 miles away from you. Think about that for a second.
Okay, that's a little wild.
Yeah. I wanted to call in, but I'm like, I don't want to call right in. That's just too weird. I'm going to call in the next day. But yeah, I couldn't see it because I live by an airport. So I'm constantly hearing you ignore them, but you know what a military
jet
sounds like.
It does not sound the same.
And I went outside and it was gone.
Oh, I mean, I heard it and then it was gone. I mean, it couldn't have been 3 seconds.
Gone. Not a vapor trail, nothing. Not an echo, anything. So I read a couple other reports on Reddit that people were seeing shit moving around. So I don't know what's going on. The only thing I didn't like is the double negative of we're not going to war with Russia, which is always, it's always the opposite of the double negative. But Putin has, and my only problem is we used up our superpowers with Afghanistan and Iraq. We really did.
Well,
our moral high ground.
Yeah, we did. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But the thing is, we can't be flummoxed into that sort of equivalency. I mean, we fucked up, and this community, to the extent that it existed or existed in other radio program communities, progressives, liberals generally. We got it right about Afghanistan and Iraq. We were absolutely right.
It's just like what I said
with regard to when Democrats say the right thing about January 6th, they don't get any credit to this day. And Jesus Christ, that was 2 decades ago, and nobody, for the most part, nobody's saying, you know, maybe we should start listening to the liberals and progressives a little bit more, because they're right about a lot of shit. Sorry, not yelling at you, Jerry.
Get your tinfoil. No, we're all yelling at the same damn screen at this point, putting our shots on the bar there and going fill her up the good shit too. I believe. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope I get to talk to you again, because I might be right that I may have something fall out the air and kill me. I believe World War III started 2004 with the invasion of Iraq or the using of a small nuclear device in Fallujah. I think that got the whole other side world's attention.
I don't think we used a small nuclear device in Fallujah. I think we did plenty of damage with the white phosphorus. I mean, that was a war crime. And then, of course, there's the depleted uranium munitions, which, you know, we use depleted uranium because it's a really, really, really heavy metal. Heavier than lead by a long shot. And
something happened in Fallujah, where we
used depleted uranium munitions and white phosphorus.
Here's my point. China said something, I guess, at a Security Council meeting. And I think George W. Bush at the time, I don't think the tsunami in Thailand or wherever that was, in Phuket, I don't think, no jokes this time, I don't think that was a natural tsunami, because I personally saw pictures of a damaged United States nuclear submarine. All the seismologists said this has a weird signature, and it was kind of like we were saying in the war, we don't need nukes, we have tsunami weapons. And then the year right after, the United States has 30 hurricanes, most of them in the oil-producing region, kind of like China saying, really, look what we can do. Whatever, that's tinfoil hat territory. Let's hit the fast-forward button to COVID, because this is relevant to what happened, has been happening to me the last 14 or 12 days. And I want to drag my LGBTQ plus 067 all y'all to the table and go, I'm trying to update my wardrobe, trying to get out there. I've got a new fresh haircut and get some looks there. I'm giving a tip in the hat to Sparky. He's out there too. It's hard out there, man, especially if you're a Libra. You're a liberal.
Well, a Scorpio. Not so little Aquarius girls from 4 months out from surgery aren't exactly knocking them dead out there either. So, you know, the dating pool is hard at a certain age.
Especially if you're a liberal. That's the other shot's important for everybody else. I had interesting chemistry. And being that it is kind of still a prayer meeting Wednesday, I as a former or just grayed out 7-day adventurer saw a nice thick girl with a pagan or a pentagram logo. Now, if you're a 7-day adventurer or an evangelical, you should just jump out of the moving car. You see one of those, you know better. And as a
wait a minute,
yeah, that's... You know I'm right.
Oh, yeah, I kind of do.
But, you know exactly what I'm doing. You're like, whoa, you're eternal soul. I was like, you know what? She could be a pagan. So I said, so hey. And I'm in a casino anyway, so, you know, I'm not going to hell, but my bench is going to be warm for about 30 seconds. But, so you're a pagan or are you a witch? She looks at me and she goes, both. Gorgeous red hair. I mean, she's...
Oh, no soul.
I could be, okay, I was yeah. thinking about...
And you know, I don't know if you see this stuff, but I've been experimenting with being a ginger a little bit lately. Kind of like it.
I haven't. I'm going to have to check that out. I mean, that, you know, it's the spring. We're all updating our looks, right? In the honor of Ukraine, I'm going with yellow and blue tracksuits. I swear to God. And white Yeezys.
Well, I'm lucky because that's my university's colors anyway. So, you know, been wearing them for years.
Yeah, I'm just Edward. That's what we're rocking for the spring. So, with that said, then she mentions politics.
Oh no, 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 no! Yeah. She doesn't have the pentacle of power, and she's a maggot. Tell me no.
Oh, she's a super maggot.
Aww.
My liberal ass on my bus ride home on my commute was like, I was going to let the witch stuff go. I was fine. You're fine. That ass was fire. But you're a maggot. I cannot suffer a maggot. I just can't. And this is NSF here. My dick chimed in. I feel you, man. I couldn't do it either. I don't think I could get up for that. So we were all in agreement.
Give the girl a break. I don't talk about those things anymore. I don't even think about it.
We were all in a group. The guys out there know what I'm talking to, and they're all nodding and asking for another shot. They're going, oh, wow, that's bad.
Just leave
the lower parts were not
leave the, just leave the bottle, Mac. Yeah, I know.
It gets
No.
Better.
You just no. You're making my brains hurt. I know no small number of witches, Wiccans, and various pagan practitioners, and there ain't a maggot among them. I mean, go play the lottery, Jerry, because.
Simulation check. It was serious. I was like, I can't. How? I go, first of all, in proper liberal fashion, I brought up one of my crazy acid adventures. And if you're a liberal, you have an acid adventure to share, too. That's our secret card.
Not untrue.
Nope. She was thoroughly opposed to such activities. That hurt my brain. I was like, whoa, what happened here? What's going on? I checked my deodorant. It was that kind of. I'm like, what happened? No, my deodorant's fine. It's not me. It's her. It gets better. So, as you know, I got thrown out of my online group. So I've been going in person, 12-step meetings, not because of a particular dependency, but because 90% of the mindset is useful for controlling a neural typicality. Fast forward button. Two cute girls there have been eye fucking me. And I haven't been interested because I have been grieving, but one of them's really cute. And it was early morning. I had a couple of cups of coffee. And this was the meeting after the meeting. And my neurosis instantly said, oh, yeah, this is why I don't do this. Maggotry, fucketry to the left and to the right. The one who I thought was cute was the biggest anti pure blood vaxxer, needed a tweet from Trump right now. I was like, Robin, it shook me. I'm just going to say it. It just shook me. I was like, so I actually brought up, I mean, it got to the point where I brought up the formula for the vaccine because these people are terrifyingly stupid. And I go, read it. He goes, one of her friends goes, I don't read. I'm like, of course you don't. Why did I expect you to read? Robin.
Right here.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here. No.
That was it.
Welcome to relationship chat. I'm Robin. we've got Scary Jerry on the line.
That was, oh.
Well, there is a little good news.
You gotta be.
I gotta share this because it just came across my feed. Haley up in Arkansas just sent me a note. She told me, she forwarded to me a tweet from Chase Strangio, who is with the ACLU. And is in there a big part of their LGBTQ, well, their trans rights project. Chase is a trans guy himself. Breaking, judge has blocked Texas officials from enforcing their illegal policies against our clients. Full hearing on the temporary injunction next Friday. We will fight to protect all trans youth across Texas. They're doing the work of the angels, Jerry. They really, really, and for truly are.
I'm going to forego weird right-wing groups and dating apps, and I'm going to go to South Beach and jump up and down at my LGBTQ plus people and just have fun there. I'm excited about getting my second Moderna this week or next. I've had some transitory breakthroughs, and they've consisted of having the sniffles for like 15 minutes and then it's over. Moderna's some shit. I think that's the one that Trump had nothing to do with. Or was it the Pfizer? I don't know.
No. It's been so long now. You know, we're 3 years into this madness. By the way, you were talking about hearing the jet at the same time I was hearing the jet?
Yes.
Add one more person.
Where are they?
Kevin, in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's either it was a formation or we have a jet that flies 3,000 miles an hour.
The Westfield, Massachusetts Air Guard Base. I'm about 3 miles from there. I heard a jet fly by around 5:30 yesterday. A little unusual. So
that's about 1,000 miles altogether, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
That's the whole East Coast. And what I just said to Kevin is kind of makes me wonder if it was a drill scramble. But one of the things we do know is there's shit going on in the air that we really and sincerely and truly don't know about. I don't know. Did you see the story a few weeks back? When Elon Musk got all butthurt because this teenager set up a tweet account to just track his jet.
Yeah.
He offered the kid like $1,000. He offered the kid like $1,000 to sell him the Twitter account. And the kid said, oh, fuck you. Well, now the teenager has set up Twitter accounts to follow Pootie's jet. And,
this is a weird world we live in, where you can watch a war on security camera. I thought the original Iraq incursion, where you saw the column of tanks blowing up, I thought that was incredible. This, you can watch Russian tanks go by ring cameras. It's the strangest thing.
Here's a little piece of good news. Alisher Usmanov is a Russian oligarch and one of Putin's friends. He's a pasty-faced, doughy old white dude. And he has a, get the size of this, because I know living where you live, you see these vessels. He's got a 512-foot mega yacht. That's almost 2 football fields long.
It's not just the mega yachts, it's the apartments. I hope they follow through on that. I hope that wasn't just bluster.
But this mega yacht,
I hope they start taking their shit.
This mega yacht just happened to be in German waters. The name of the yacht is the Dilbar. Really? You got a 512-foot mega yacht, and that's the name you hang on it? I mean, you should see, because it's all filled with superstition and stuff. This yacht is going to have to be renamed. And the superstitious practice of how to rename a boat is really complicated. And it involves putting the name of the boat on a brass tag and dropping it into the ocean and imploring Neptunus Rex, King of the Thundering Main and the Mighty Deep, to forget that name ever existed. And if you fuck up, well, there's plenty of seafaring lore about renamed vessels that were not properly renamed that found themselves as, artificial reefs. But the Germans seized the yacht. Valued, by the way, at $600 million. It was one of his prized possessions. Our buddy Tom in sunny San Rafael can probably tell us more about a vessel like this, but this is a monster. It's 15,917 tons, the largest motor yacht in the world by gross tonnage. It has a crew of 96, the largest swimming pool ever installed on a yacht, two helicopter pads, a sauna, a beauty salon, and a gym. There are more than 1,000 sofa cushions and can host up to 24 people in 12 suites. This is all according to Forbes. And
do you realize that the Russian ruble is worth less than not just one cryptocurrency, but many cryptocurrencies right now?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anything like this.
This is fascinating. This is fascinating. Forbes published the location of 32 oligarch yachts.
Yeah, they're not. This happens quick. That whole narrative about Sleepy Joe, I'm glad Joe's a good guy because Joe got a little supervillain in him. I noticed that.
He reminds
me. I'm not mad at him. For
Sleepy Joe business reminds me of the title of a Tom Robbins book, Wide Awake in Frog Pajamas. Wide Awake.
He got a little supervillain in him. I think he pulled a trap on Putin. And I think cutting off the money, he cut off, here we go again, NSFW. He cut off Trump's dick last night. And Trump don't even know he's bleeding yet.
Oh, by the way, you're getting some affirmation on your pagan maggot story. Arnold says, I know a bunch of Republican witches. Confusion knows no bounds. I know radical Christian homeschool anti-mask anti-vaxxers who are lesbians. That's exactly why when Dad and I do restorations, wow, they get tested without name or number.
Wow.
The lesbian part
kind of just pushed me off. Wow. There's a lot of shit going on in Florida.
Oh, and back to the aircraft. Jeremy in Vermont says, we do have undisclosed aircraft. I've speculated that we are very much active over the Ukraine. In these aircraft, there are vehicles that we currently have that would blow your mind. I'm talking tic-tac things. And Darlene adds, earlier that day, I heard what sounded like a military chopper and thought it sounded different and a bit weird. My mind also went to the situation with Russia. Jen Psaki said we weren't going on some special alert status, but could they be doing that on the QT so as not to start a nationwide panic? Don't forget how Biden reassured us last night that we were going to be okay. They always know shit before the rest of us. That's true, and it's standard operating procedure. If a Russian jet gets too close to American airspace, we scramble.
He said, long live the fighters last night.
Yeah.
For a war we weren't fighting. I think that was a slip up, but
I heard that too and went, and come on, the CIA's on the ground in there. I mean, why would we think they aren't? I mean, really?
And I wouldn't be mad at him for doing it. I mean, you had this other guy just enable. I want history to say what Trump actually gave up, because if you've just watched a spy movie or any episode of X-Files reference, I think that's the first this one.
Might be.
Trump's body language for the last 5 years was just all wrong. Throwing out translators was all wrong. Secret meetings. Has any president ever had secret meetings with the Russians ever?
Well, there was a secret back channel opened with Nikita Khrushchev during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah, but not secret meetings in the office where there's no translators.
No.
And people eating his records. But I think Putin was smoking his own crack. I really do, because everybody bought into this Sleepy Joe narrative. Joe's been setting them up for the last 5 months to cut off the money and cut out the crap. But he didn't jump. I was thinking a couple days ago, Joe.
Now, remember, he's not nearly ideologically pure enough. But the fact of the matter is, the guy spent a considerable amount of time as the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He knows how these systems work. He was probably as ready as any president could ever be to deal with it. You know, Hillary would have been the same way. But, you know, for Putin, it was like taking borscht from a baby with Trump.
And even the ones in the back are starting to see it now a little bit. And Trump just sticking his ass out, well, like he does. But last week, and going this, Putin, that. I think this is the first time he can't recover from it. I think any cases in the system that were flailing because there's a Trump judge. Well, now Trump's a traitor. You know, love him or hate him, he's a traitor. He did his betrayal last week in front of everyone. He had an opportunity to back down from and Joseph R. Biden, a Scorpio, pulled a trap on him. And now he looks stupid. So with that said, no cannabis was mentioned last night. That's fine. I think that's
Appalachia went begging too.
All I want is Delta 8 out of the Farm Bill and decriminalization and a scrubbing of records, and I'm fine. I'll take one of those and I'm going to go community organize and make a couple of bucks off of it. Wish I had a couple of bucks to put in a hat today. I might have tomorrow. And you have something set up for your campaign and may have a couple of bucks for that too.
I'm getting very close to getting setting up the electronic campaign funding has been like, it's just been a Byzantine nightmare, but I'm getting very, very close. Hopefully finish that up tonight. It'll be great if I can. By the way, in regard to the super huge mega yacht, Scott in San Diego never fails to bring the A game. Mega yacht and war watching on a security camera. Wait, what? A yacht nearly as long as two football fields? Geez, order a cold beer and a hot dog, and by the time it gets to you, the beer's hot and the dog's cold. Call me an old-fashioned boy, but I don't think I'd want to watch a war on a security camera without the running commentary of Bernard Shaw, Peter Arnett, and John Holloman. It's just not the same.
Well, haven't you seen the drones that they, I can't believe you're getting stingers too. That stuck up in appropriations in the last eight years. The Stinger missile. You remember that? Oh no, we can't have Ukraine having stingers. No, that's too much. I specifically remember that. On a side note, be a great time to get a Venezuelan and a Ukrainian girlfriend. Refugees are hot. Just saying. Especially the
Jerry.
Western media says, especially if they're
white.
No. Well, I was going somewhere with that, especially if they're white. I can't believe not one caster said that. Five casters said, well, these are Europeans that are refugees. This is different. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. You could have said nothing. And you would have been fine.
No, Jerry, don't get me started with the catfish. Let's see. Let's check the Instagram mailbag. Message requests. And I mean, I don't know who's doing the trainings on this stuff. But they're really not good. Here's Bob, who is Kansas Cowboy 77 with 23 followers and zero posts. Very beautiful heart, smiley face with heart eyes. How are you today? And BBC Daddy says hi. Jackson Smythe.
Hello,
Robin. Hello, dear. Hello, Miss is a big one. How are you doing? Oh, look, here's a girl. Hello, how are you doing? 371 followers and three posts. That's Miranda. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Yeah, you're a real girl. oh God! It just
you know, I'm a straight cis person of color. Men are terrible. I don't know how women do it. I'll just leave it at that.
And here's Kira. She's active now. Hey, hi. How are you doing? And then just bland. I'm well, thanks. Please, I need your help. Oh, come on, really? I'm presently getting chatted up by a young man purportedly from India. Sometimes it's fun just to string these out long, you know, and see how long it can go on before you either get the request for dirty talk or the request for a little bit of PayPal help.
Yeah, You know, I got one of those ones.
Social media is a freaking sewer. Before I came out, I never got any of these. Let's see here. I have to block a bunch of people following me. I probably block about 30 people a day. Here's Matt, who is kind-hearted. 3 posts, 112 following. They are all, of course, trans girls. And so I haven't blocked him yet. So bye, Matt. Not you, Matt. Not in San Francisco. I think that person might be real. But it, here's Eric Steve 097. I respect everyone, regardless their religion or race. Heart emoji. Amazing, period. Uncapitalized. Amazing dad. Working hard. Easygoing. Positive thinker. Yeah. Bye, Eric Steve. It's a damn job. And I'm not putting anything out there that's even remote. I talk about the campaign. I write poetry. And invariably, you know, some dude bro who wants to, who fetishizes trans women. Hello, dear. Oh, fuck off. Just gets...
A tourist.
Yeah.
A tourist on safari. Oh, that's such an... I told that joke once. That's such an apt joke.
Oh, and I've got, right now, I've got Jeremy in Vermont joining in. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a quick story for both of you, and this will be for an undisclosed place and an undisclosed friend, but they would have known about this story, and they would have been in a position to know what I was talking about. Well, this person I was talking to, when they just casually chatted, he was talking about different things. And we were talking about space things. And we were talking about the little unmanned mini space shuttle we have that goes to space and stays up there sometimes at a year at a time. That's a thing. It comes back on its own. And I looked at him and I said, that's simple. That's a satellite killer. All it does is it pushes something just out of orbit. It falls back to Earth or spins out of our orbit. And his eyes get kind of big. And he didn't say, he didn't say anything. They didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. I didn't say his name. It doesn't matter. And, then I looked at him and said, I remember a few years ago I was watching Rachel Maddow, and I clearly remember this happening. And something happened with Xi Jinping and Obama. So it was back way before Trump. And something happened, and he was on TV, and basically he waved his finger at the TV talking about China, said, you don't threaten America. And Rachel played something that happened the same day on the outskirts of China in a large factory. And something streaked out of the sky, just a little white streak, and this plant blew up and was gone. I mean, just gone. And she said, we don't know what happened. No one's talking about it. And my friend's kind of like sitting back and, you know, kind of chuckling to himself. And I said, that's called Thor's hammer. It drops tungsten rods from space at velocity. It cannot be stopped. It basically hits with a nuclear blast without the fallout. And I kid you not, at that point, this person looked at me and said, this is where I have to stop talking. And he walked away.
Wow.
So we have stuff.
Yep.
The look on his face was pure terror because I was getting dangerously close to him saying something which would admit something happened. Or at least something exists. So I speak from a place of knowledge, knowing that some of this stuff is definitely out there. We don't know about it. But if Biden's saying don't worry, there's a good reason why he's saying it.
You got it. And you got to think when he said that, Pootie's sitting there somewhere going, what is he saying? Don't worry. And some of that may just be about being in his head.
I guarantee Putin is hiding. I had someone else say, you think he's at the Kremlin? I said, hell no. He's not anywhere near the Kremlin because he knows it's a target. He's probably hiding in one of his many mansions around Russia in a province or hiding in a bunker he built at that house. But if what I'm saying is true, which I mostly believe is, he is not untouchable. And that's why when we took out Osama and we took out the head of ISIS, it was a message to Putin that you're next. You're on the list. And I would not be horribly shocked if things escalate anymore in the Ukraine, that we hear something in the background and, oh, something magically happened and Putin is no longer alive. No one ever says how it happens, but he disappears completely. And they might blame it on the Russian people, stand up against them, but I don't think it'll be them.
I'm still shocked that they cut off the money to the whole entire Russian they can't move money anymore. The midterms are afoot. Not to be cravenly political, but fuck it, I'm being cravenly political.
I just got a message. I just saw something our pal Joy in Ann Arbor posted. It was a repost from someone else, someone named Duke St. Rollins. I don't know. But they said if the Russian people had half the balls of the Ukrainians, had half the nerve, half the guts of the Ukrainians, they'd be dragging Putin's corpse through the streets of Moscow behind this is what makes it art, a 1966 Lada.
Yeah. I love being an American today. I really do.
Both of you, a heads up of what we might have out there working possibly right now. Probably do. I wouldn't be surprised.
We got some shit. I mean, I read yesterday that half of SpaceX launches are military. We got some shit. Especially with Putin fucking around with ballistic satellites in the last 6 months. I don't think anybody is happy about that.
Well, just remember the guy who worked for the Skunk Works after Kelly Johnson, he gave a speech right before he retired at a college in the 90s. And he wasn't kidding when he said, we can now bring ET back home. We're using stuff 50 years in the future you cannot imagine is out there. And I saw a pretty good interview with another reputable person. He was an F-14 Rio guy. He sat in the backseat. He's a weapons officer, basically. And he said two things about that Tic Tac video that's been released in the last couple of years. He said there's two possibilities. Well, actually, he said three, but two of them are connected. He said either it really is extraterrestrial and we cannot explain it, or it's ours and we're trying to desensitize the world to it so they're not shocked when we come out with this technology they do not know we could do. And it also might be another poke at the Russian bear saying, guess what? There's something out there you don't know about either.
No, I think so.
The truth is out there.
I think the plane that we all heard within the same minute, let's just put it out there, across 1,000 miles is some new experimental shit.
I'm gonna get Occam's razor out for this one. I think we all heard a simultaneous scramble. I mean, if this was really a thing, what we heard was aircraft being scrambled all up and down the East Coast. Maybe it was a drill.
Yeah, but I've heard F-22s, I've heard stealths, I've heard all of them. I even know the relative height that they're flying at. I've been a plane nut my whole life. This plane, as fast as I heard it was gone. I've never heard anything that fast before. Not at air shows, not air shows with afterburners on. I've never knew. And you hear them disappear. Even if they're far away, you can still hear it. I couldn't hear it. You heard it. I heard it.
We had aircraft in the 80s and 90s that could do 16 times the speed of sound. And that wasn't disclosed then, but now we know it. So we have stuff that goes well beyond
this
right
thing.
Probably in the blink of an eye, literally.
This thing was going 3,000, 4,000 miles an hour. And I have no stock or holdings in any defense contractors or anything. I have no axe to grind or patch to sell. This was some shit, and I think it was ours. So, yeah.
But I'm gonna pop out before you lose more listeners to conspiracy radio. But what I said really did happen, and I've always remembered it, and the look on this person's face is pure terror because I was touching a stuff he could not.
I totally believe you because there was an explosion at a Chinese factory about 3-4 years ago that maybe it was 5 years ago that nobody could explain, and it produced a bright purple energy flash. So if we have Akira type space weapons, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Or as you said, Thor's hammer.
Have them. There's probably a good possibility that other countries have them too, because we steal things from each other all the time. So don't be surprised by that either. But with that, have a good night. I'm out of here.
All right, Jeremy, you take care. Thanks for the help this evening, my friend.
Hey, bring me back some maple syrup. Damn it, for monkeys. I've taken a hankering to maple syrup lately.
Oh, the good stuff.
I mean, especially when you realize that not the stuff with the HFCS in it, but the actual maple syrup. Oh my God, that's it. Not beer. Beer's not evidence that God wants you to be happy. Maple syrup is. There's no point to it. But oh my God,
I have made beer with maple syrup.
Oh wow. How'd that turn out?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was like a maple porter. I mean, this would be 30 years ago, but it was, not a lot, but just a little bit of maple syrup into it. Because when you're making beer, you know, the wort is sweet to begin with, because that's what the yeasts consume and produce alcohol. And it was beautiful. I put maple syrup in a beer, and I put some maple syrup in a mead. And in the mead, it was absolutely mind-blowing. Honey and maple syrup together in a fermentation? Get out. Yeah.
Maple syrup in a mead. Well, I feel like I'm with my family tonight. I will never... there's a lot of right wingers at the there's a lot of right wingers at the in person group. It all makes sense now, and alcohol would say stupid shit even if they're not drinking.
Well,
I feel better about saying this.
You know, our dear sister Jude, the spiritual advisor of the Horn Family Community Congregation, says, "I live four blocks from McCord Air Force Base. And there are nights my floor shakes when the planes take off. The roar of the engines are piercing. But some unusual jets take off, roaring, and within seconds, no sound at all."
Yep.
And Jude also added, and you might want to address this, I don't view Jerry as scary. He reveals a wide-open vessel of free-floating vulnerability, always touched with humor. He cleanses so well. You want to help Jude understand why you call yourself Scary Jerry?
Because I tell the truth, and I can see when people are full of shit, and most people are full of shit.
Hold on. Let's try that again. You're breaking up all over the place, or there's something rattling near you, or something.
Hold on. Let me fix that. All right, because most people are full of shit, and I have a thirst, a superpower, to see what's actually going on as opposed to what's stated. It's part of what makes it crazy, because most people are lying about most things.
Hey, Jerry, I want to try this one. Go to speaker or something, because I don't know, maybe your face is right. Rubbing the... Yeah.
That could be it, too. Hold on. How's it? Oh.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. How about now?
Okay. Just, you know, maybe don't move anything but your mouth and talk.
Most people are full of shit, and ever since I was a child, I could see when people were lying, which is not the greatest superpower in the world. So that makes me scared, because I've told the truth at inappropriate times. Sometimes inelegantly. That and, statute of limitations. But yeah, I'm chaotically good. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And think very outside the box.
That makes sense. Okay. Well,
For instance, I figured out why the Warrior Princes didn't like Breaking Bad. Because
there's a very specific reason, but I'd like to hear your theory.
Because A, it's very accurate, and B, if you've had someone in your life darken your life with that shadow, it's triggering as fuck.
Bingo. You'd be surprised when Breaking Bad was at its height. You would be surprised the number of people, because frankly, New Mexico and West Virginia share a lot of commonalities. One of which is that we are two states that people forget is a state with two with an adjective in front of the name of the state. People call New Mexico, Mexico. They call West Virginia, Virginia. But we are also share in common, you know, beautiful vistas, wild spaces. But, and this is the part that this is where the salient part, namely that we've got people here who love bad drugs. And when Breaking Bad was big, every punk-ass POS out there wanted to play the home game of Breaking Bad. And they were everywhere here. And we had huge meth problems. Which, of course, means you have huge asshole problems.
When Walter White dressed down the guy in the Walmart parking lot and went through his shopping cart and was like, "What the fuck are you doing? You're not supposed to buy this stuff all at the same place. Are you serious? Did you just do this? You're supposed to buy this from three different places, at least 100 miles apart. So if they put you on camera, they can't all match it up because you're from the fucking same town and they follow you home as you go cook it." That was real. Or actually, that was procedure. There were secret websites in the 90s that the actual Walter White frequented. I don't know if he had a cancer problem, but he had a money I need to make meth problem. And I don't know if the meth was blue, but it might have been pink. Pink denoting a perfect reaction. Are you listening to me so far?
Yeah, I am.
I know the Mexican thing happened, and I know the Nazi thing happened. And I wasn't a participant, but I had enough privileges that I could view the conversation and the chain. They were like, "Oh, you're fucking with Nazis right now? Well, it's over, bro. This is a wrap. This is no longer about chemistry. I'm out." These were raw chemistry enthusiasts. Some of them were Nazis. Some of them were Stephen Hawking's geniuses. A lot of them were capitalists, like the people in your town. But those are people chasing around now defunct cold medicine, which doesn't work anymore. And, you know, they had to figure that out. Low-hanging fruit, we call them. And some of them just wanted to watch the world burn, or at least source the cobalt so it would burn blue. The bottom line is, even the reactions on Breaking Bad were accurate. They just put them in the wrong order so fuckheads couldn't put it together. And the blue stuff at the end was rock salt. My edge of the pool were the psychedelics, ecstasy people, because some of us thought that ecstasy would save the world, because all the world needed to do was dance a little bit. Funny thing happens in the Keys at the end of the 90s. Some corporation was pumping 160 milligram Oxycontin, something I'd never seen before. It kind of put a cancel to the whole psychedelic revolution that was happening at that time. Then we went to war in Afghanistan or whatever, and who's it? But I got to believe there was a connection there as well. The Sacklers are now being sued, because that's the only way that could have happened. Out in the wild, I saw 160 milligram Oxycontin for sale for
$10, Robin. I saw that shit. Yeah, that was on purpose. But, you know, I always said back in the day that in the end, I'm going to become a corporation because they can do whatever the fuck they want. And there's very little that's taken that I still believe that because that's exactly what's happening. Point being, us peaceable ones broke up. There were some Mexican chemists there who got the alternate formulas for fentanyl because we're living that reality right now. And that was the capitalist wing. The crazy hippies, we went to jail or got into crypto or had families and babies or even grandbabies. We just put that hat down. That's all. What's that word we use tonight? Conspiracy shit. Probably never happened anyway, right? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
The point being, I had a wide-eyed, I can't really read, Trumper non-vaxxer get in my face and go, did you know the science? Did you know the science? And I almost told him about the science. I almost told him I know the difference between a microgram, a milligram, and a nanogram. Because you don't see any dead people. And I'm a black person. If I was associated with that kind of death, I'd be in jail. And no, I don't drive a Lamborghini because that's stupid. And statute of limitations. And unfortunately, my two best friends, one of them are dead. He's dead. She's dead. The other one's in jail because he decided to buy a kilo of cocaine.
Not a good
idea. A nice pretty girl. Maybe you should know the story. It gets better. For a girl he'd never even kissed, but all of a sudden she really loved him and needed a kilo of cocaine. And I'm sure she has a confidential informant number. But that's another story for another show. The point being is some of us know shit and don't have to say anything about it. But if we open our mouth and talk about shit, then it's scary. Like, I do think this COVID thing was a setup for two reasons. China never shared their genetic data. In fact, they closed that book really quick and ran away. They didn't even finish their cigarette. They did it twice. And maybe that part of the planet thought we would be weakened enough to try to do stupid shit, because we're definitely in the stupid shit part of the playbook.
See, I still can't get on board with that, Jerry, because it just, I mean, the stupid shit that we have done is stupid shit with the natural world. And we made it happen. And by we, I mean humanity on this planet. We made it happen, but it didn't.
There were edits. Here's my point. Here's the crazy part. The reason why people get a weird vibe about the vaccine is because some women have had problems with it, and they're figuring out that women need half as strong a dose because women have highly tuned immune systems. There has been some myocardial problems.
The risk of myocarditis that comes from the vaccine is exponentially lower than the risk of myocarditis that attends COVID.
Here's the underlying current. Here's where all the 5G, the genetic this, that, and the other thing, because all lies have a kernel of the truth in them somewhere. If somebody wanted to start a world war, this is how you hit the United States. You fill their heads with bullshit and you come up with an organism that takes advantage of their bad health lifestyle and bad health system and bad health.
Do you know where, I was actually doing a little digging around on this. Do you know where the origins of the perfect storm of anti-vaxxerism, you know where that begins? It begins with the barking over thimerosal as a preservative in vaccines and a long since discredited claim that it led to autism. And see, this is one of the things that make me think anti-vax parents are probably really bad parents, because when they say, I won't get my child vaccinated against a disease that could kill my child, and we're talking anything, measles, mumps, rubella, you can die from chicken pox because it's one of the herpes, the one, you know, zoster, you think. Yeah, anyway, when they say I won't get my child vaccinated because the vaccine may kill them. No, I'm sorry. When they say I won't get my child vaccinated because my child might be made autistic, what they're saying, Jerry, is I would rather my child die than be neurodivergent. And that is vicious. That's awful. And parents, decent parents of neurodivergent children are horrified when they hear that kind of crap. The other prong of this, though, goes back to the vaccine that was developed. I forget the company. Maybe it was Merck, against human papillomavirus. Okay, because the human papillomavirus leads to it is the source of uterine and cervical cancer in women. And the thing with the human papillomavirus is a girl has to get it before she begins being sexually active. And so when the human papillomavirus came out, all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians said, no, we're just, do you remember abstinence-only education, Jerry?
Yes.
We'll just tell our teenagers who are full of raging hormones not to fuck. Because that works so well. And then alongside that, you've got and so that's over on the right wing. Over on the left, you've got people. You know, I don't trust Big Pharma. They're trying to make a damn fortune on this here vaccine because everybody's going to have it. So. Big Pharma, big evil, right wing fundamentalism, and a couple of other sectors, and they all just sort of merge in this sort of wad of stupid, dumb, and evil, and you get a backlash against this vaccine, so that everything was perfectly primed. By the time
By
the time the vaccine comes out, oh, this is way pre-Facebook. This is like Clinton era for human papillomavirus.
No, I'm saying what tied it up into a bow.
Well, and see,
Mercer money.
Yeah, but what happens then? You get people who say, "Well, you know, I don't necessarily. I mean, I ain't against all vaccines, but I don't trust this here vaccine because they come up with it too quick. It ain't been properly tested." And it is true that we got a vaccine out fairly quickly, but that's only because we've been working on me and that mouse in my pocket been working on mRNA vaccines. Since SARS-CoV-1, okay, 20 years. And so the technology had made huge, huge gains, leaps and bounds, and they knew when they started looking at SARS-CoV-2, they knew what they were looking at, and they knew where they were in terms of vaccine technology, and they just took the next step. But the problem is, you can explain all day long, and it doesn't matter because their minds are closed. Their minds aren't just closed, Jerry. They're slammed shut. And, you know, I don't feel like a sheep because I got a vaccine. I feel like somebody who wanted to live. I mean, there's an archive of programs where I talk about how terrified I am of the prospect of being horizontally crucified with a garden hose down my throat. Because I someone I loved so very much died that way. I repeated the 23rd Psalm over her dying body, praying that she could at least hear me.
I just yanked my dad out of he wasn't at death's door, but he was definitely in the waiting room. I didn't even get to bring that up. I was like, nope, not even losing you today. He had a Delta 8 gummy. It activated his immune system. Took him about 2 weeks. But he bounced his great-granddaughter on his lap this weekend. How about that?
Wow.
And the way, because he's a conservative island man, I couldn't even tell him there were cannabinoids in there.
Oh,
in
God.
Fact, I had to dose it knowing he was going to have, he was going to spit out the last part, but it was enough. And it worked. If you want to ingest weird things for the Rona, go have a weed gummy. You'll be all right. How about that? That's the fix for Corona. But, you know, the world such as it is, they'd rather drink piss.
Don't forget don't forget the onions in the sock, and don't piss Jeremy off by forgetting about the black light tube up the butt.
And the scary thing is they probably didn't tell the Trump about all the super neato Mars technology stuff we got, because he would have told Putin. But they can't talk about that because of statute of limitations. But I'm glad, proud to be an American today. Really, really am. Made fun of everything. I'm going to come up with.
It feels like we're getting things right, and I have never been one to march along with the madding crowd, and I've certainly never wrapped myself in the flag. But we're getting things right, and that matters.
Not just that, smart people are in control for at least the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine having this? You'll probably have nightmares and everybody in this community, but can you imagine having this happen with that idiot and his bloodthirsty gang of sycophants in charge?
Well, yeah, they would have maybe they would have figured out that they were duped, and maybe he does first strike. How about that?
Well,
totally unprepared,
no, Putin would have just rolled over Ukraine. The carnage would be worse than it is already, and there would be and the Russian flag would be flying over Kyiv. And based on the way that based on the way that Nitwit Nero talked about NATO, he would have let Putin roll into Poland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. And really put the old band back together again.
Or maybe Poland. Maybe this was all about Poland. Maybe he's already in Ukraine and he's headed to Poland, and then what? We're still slap fighting with NATO. Because if he had been reelected, wow. This is scary Jerry part. He had been reelected. Maybe we're out of NATO by now. Now what? And the world's broken up into three parts. And the U.S. and America are slap fighting. And NATO can't get its shit together because Trump has his foot on their throat. That's what this whole attack seemed like it was set up for. But Biden's in charge. And he's sleepy this and he's sleepy that, and Russia's off of SWIFT. Say that out loud. And I think they got cut off on the internet yesterday.
I know Apple has shut down all their products in Russia. And well, I mean, and now we know it's serious.
Yeah. It's crazy. And they're out of video games, which doesn't seem like a lot. That's a lot. National identity and stuff.
Well, hey,
hockey players are Russian.
I was going to say, with the time remaining in the program, let's have a little January 6th update. Opening statements.
Oh, what's going on?
And by the way, just to make something clear, I saw one professional journalism argument that said opening arguments began today. No, they damned well didn't. There is no opening argument in a trial. There is an opening statement. The closing is an argument. but it begins with a statement of the facts, a recitation of the nature of the charges against the accused. But opening statements began today in the case of the guy who carried a gun into the Capitol and feels like he just really wants to put this case before a jury. But another person went into Thomas F. Hogan's courtroom today. Annie C. Howell of Swoyersville, Pennsylvania, who had ties to the Pennsylvania State Republican Party. She's been called to testify four times before the January 6th committee. And Judge Thomas F. Hogan sentenced her today to, oh boy, 3 years probation and 60 whole days of jail time, which he imposed as intermittent confinement. And she serves him 10 days at a time at the Luzerne County Correctional Facility in Pennsylvania.
She gets to go home.
Yeah. Judge Hogan said, "There is no question in my mind that you joined a group that attempted to overthrow the government. January 6th was an insurrection that was probably the worst thing that's happened in our democratic way of life in our history, except perhaps the War of 1812. Ms. Howell said, "Well, I know now what I did was wrong. I sit here, wrong accent. I sit here crying because I'm embarrassed and ashamed. I was easily manipulated, and I'm ashamed of my role." And since then, she's experienced a journey to awareness, and she has remained committed to long-term positive change. And she even changed her voter registration to independent. Well, kill the fatted calf. The prodigal has come home. Now, on January 6th, she was cheering along as other maggots attacked law enforcement. And she led chants of "Whose house? Our house." And then she chanted, "Fight for Trump." Went to the trouble of going through clouds of tear gas until she got into the Capitol through a broken window. And then, once she was in a ransacked conference room, she, of course, had to hop on Facebook, Jerry, and said, "I'm inside Capitol." And somebody said, "You better get out." And she said, no, they just killed two fucking women, American women. No, I watched them die. No fucking way. And then, of course, she did the same, the usual dance, and said, "Oh, this was all done by Antifa." And said the police were attacking innocent women and children. Oh, white fragility. Oh, my God.
My first wife's current husband, now ex-husband, he was up there January 6th, you know that.
No.
I mean, they broke up. Yeah. My life, you know. They broke up, like, 2 weeks afterward, because, although, we've had our differences, my first ex is a nice, wonderful, liberal Jewish lady. So she would, you know, no time for that crap. So he was throwing N-bombs to my Jamaican daughter, who lives with my ex, and specifically about me. And I'm like, what is it about Trump that just liberates? Because this guy used to be an intellectual, a hippie, almost. Now he's a Trumper. And I purposely haven't really looked at much video or footage from those events because I don't want to see him. You understand what I'm saying? I don't. He actually, the excuse he gave was, well, Trump said he needed our help. So he might be there. Yeah, I don't know. Never really talked to him about it either. Won't look me in the eye since. In any sense, to apologize.
Jesus. Wow.
Yep.
stuff you got to say out loud because you're like, ah, yeah, that actually happened.
That actually happened.
So much drama. I wanted to introduce some bud porn to the show tonight. My early choices are some Chem Dog cookies. What was the other one? Some Chem Dog and some GMO. Just had some GMO from Colorado. Roger was right that there is a huge glut on the West Coast, and that stuff is currently filling up on the dark net for anywhere from $300 to $900 a pound. So get out
pound?
There, folks. It's hot.
A pound?
I saw some just gorgeous stuff today for $70 an ounce. Gorgeous dispensary grade stuff.
Yeah, wow, the free market something else, isn't it?
The free market is some yeah. And we might be doing that war stuff, so get your bud stocked up. We all might need it. And that, my dear Robin, I'm going to get my dishes here.
I'm gonna shut this down so that we've still got a fighting chance of actually having Podbean podcast at the end of the month, because when I run over, that's when we run into trouble.
That's why you're burning data. Oh, I knew it was. I thought it was fuckery, but no, it's here. You go over and they charge. That's when they start.
No. Podbean just shuts me down and won't let me upload.
When you go over, because overages and data affect everyone. It's a ripple effect, so they have to go. No, not that guy. Unless you're Joe Rogan, Jesus Christ. Another show.
Different show. So. Yeah.
Love you, Robin.
If you want a good giggle, run over to YouTube. There was a Saturday Night Live. Skit they did that got the Joe Rogan fan dude bros all upset. Saturday Night Live reaches a new low from Reddit/Joe Rogan user/5meoz. And it's a Saturday Night Live skit about the podcast set for white guys. Ralph told me about this earlier today. You will giggle wildly.
I got some Cuban coffee coming up, raising a cup to the West, because Scott started it off, and I'll check that out. Hug everyone you love. I'll listen to you soon.
Thanks a bunch, Jerry. Good to talk to you, my friend. Later. That's our buddy Scary Jerry in South Florida. Always a great conversation. Tom and Sonny San Rafael pointed out those plane sounds, you know, me, Jerry, and Kevin. Those were three different planes. I tend to think so, too. I had a note come in from Les. Subject, air raid. On Long Island, where I grew up, there used to be air raid sirens. They would go off every so often around noon back in the 80s. Test of the warning system, perhaps. Post fall of the USSR, they stopped going off. Last Thursday night, around 11 p.m. at night, I heard it go off for the first time in over two decades. Never heard him go off at night before. This, combined with what you guys are talking about now, has me thinking, holy shit, something incoming might have been intercepted for real. I think it's going to, well, I mean, yeah. So, thanks, everybody. We pulled up $270 short on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. I hate that. But thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so very much. Thank you to our a la carte contributors this evening and every evening. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, moderating in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Please stay safe. Vaccine, boosters, KN95s, wash hands, don't touch face, use hand sanitizer, social distance, 15 to 20 feet, just like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, of course, for God's sakes, if somebody comes burbling towards you, barking, grunting, and hooting all about, Joe Biden put 13 good service members in the ground. Well, avoid that dipshit duo like the plague, because they are. Later.